This is the disclaimer part, okay? These are all the reasons I'm going to tell you right now why you shouldn't listen to a word I'm saying. Okay, you ready for this? I'm not a parent. I think about, wait a minute, how in the world is he going to talk to us about talking to kids, our own kids, if he doesn't have kids himself? And that's a disadvantage I have. It definitely is. There is no way through either experience or education that I can come to the same understanding that you people have as being parents. Okay? There's nothing like it. I have worked as a house parent with emotionally disturbed kids, and where I got most of my gray hair, and I've done counseling for the past 10 years with teenagers. Some of the parents from church say, Pete, please, would you let my son stay or daughter stay at your house for a while? You know, they need a break from their kids. But it's still not the same. Okay, so kind of keep that in the back of your head. Now, maybe on the other side of it is some reasons you should listen. Some of these things will work. Okay, some ways of being able to work with your kids in maybe just a little bit different way. And it might help you some. Okay? So, kind of keep that in mind as we go along here. All right, what's the first thing on here? All right, if you were to only have, let's say, 30 seconds, you can open your kid's head up, and you have 30 seconds worth of things that you want to be able to put into your kid's head, and you know it's going to stay there forever. Guaranteed. Okay? What kind of messages or what kind of things would you want to get in there and want to say to them?
Father is the ultimate authority on everything. No,
you don't have to put that.
You're sure now.
That's
the disclaimer of what everything.
Mother knows
best. On the other
hand,
seriously, what you would want to convey to them, and some of this says it anyway, is that whatever it is I'm going to tell you from now on is for your own good. So, but to
you want them to listen to you.
Yeah. Well, you want them to know that.
Take a nap. something about respecting your body and just taking time out.
Eat your dinner, please.
All right.
Eat your dinner. Yeah.
Like, take care of yourself, my dear.
Okay. Respect your body.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think that as parents, if you are able to get these messages about being honest, trusting, loving yourself, that they are special and loved, to respect your body, letting them know that you love them, that you want them to listen to you, you want them to treasure life, don't hurt others or things. I think if these kind of messages got in and stuck to teenagers, it would help a whole lot. Okay? I really do think that would help a lot. Now, there's only one problem with that. Some things get in the way. Okay? Now, alrighty. In a second here, we're going to get you doing something. I just want you to listen first. Well, maybe we can get you to do this. Want everyone to find a partner. Just two people. Let's see how that's going to work out. Yeah, here comes an odd person. Come on in. You're not an odd person. You're just going to be in a group of three. I want everyone to get a partner, please. Just pair up with someone. Okay? Now, this is a tough part. There's going to be one group of three. That's okay. You can get into a group of three. Decide one person is going to be A, the other person is going to be B. Okay? You got that? All right. Now, okay, if you turn the tape off, please. So I'm going to turn it off for a second. What I want you to do is, A, this is your job. You're going to talk for 1 minute. You are going to talk, and I don't care what you talk about. You can talk about why in the world this huge stone thing's in the middle here, keeping me from being all around here, all this kind of stuff. I don't care. You're going to talk for a minute. Okay, A, that's your job. A, you will make B listen. You understand? You will make B listen. You may do whatever you may have to do, but you will make B listen. Understand? A's? Okay, B's, this is your job. Don't you dare listen. I don't care what you have to do, but you are not going to listen to A. Okay? Understand? All right, for 1 minute, go. For those that are listening on the tape, what we just did was we had people split up into pairs and had them trying to make the other person listen when that person was not going to listen and what that was like. So I want to first hear from those of you who were talking and trying to make the person listen. What was that like?
Took a lot of energy.
A lot of energy, yes.
Creativity.
Stress, creativity, what else?
Frustration.
Frustrating. What else? How to make you feel?
I didn't get to talk about what I wanted to talk about to try and get this person's attention.
Okay. All right. How did it make you feel then?
Aggravated. Angry.
Angry. Yes.
This person's agenda, not my agenda.
Okay. All right. How often, when you're talking to kids, does it feel like this? Okay. How many of your kids have that switch where they see you come and they go click, and it's like, you can talk all you want. It's just not going to get in. Okay, any of your kids have those kind of switches on them?
Mine does.
Yours does. Okay.
Seems to be more prominent in males, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure. Boy children. Yeah, them.
Okay, so there's kind of a sex bias here.
I think so.
You think that females listen better than males do?
Well, at least they pretend like they're listening.
Okay, that might be part of it. All right.
I like to watch somebody else trying to get my kids' attention.
Yeah.
And see what that looks like from the outside.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Okay. Now, those of you that were made, when you were being made to listen, and you didn't want to listen, what was that like?
The more you talk to, the more obstinate you become.
Right. I learned at a very young age what the word obstinate meant. I was beyond stubborn at the age of 4. Now I was to obstinate. When we became that vocabulary word in school, I knew what it meant right away. Yeah. You want to stop listening even more. And how does it make you feel then when someone's trying to make you listen and you don't want to listen?
Makes you powerful. Yeah. Makes you feel like you have power.
Okay.
A
what
game.
Else?
What? A game.
It becomes a game. Yes.
Controlling
kind of stuff. Yes. Yeah. Okay. It can also become aggravating. It can also make you mad at times. Okay. Not a good situation. And yet, in counseling, when I get the whole family in my office, which is something I really like to do because I see the interactions going on, and when I see the teenager sitting there like this, they learn this in school, how to sit there like this. And when the parent is over them standing up like this, and how many of you have a finger? Do any of you use your finger like a pointer like this? I saw it over here. Okay? They issue these in the hospital. Okay? When you have your kid. You don't have one? You have the look? Hands on the hips? You have the look then. The eyes, yes. Okay? Now, this is weird standing up here. I don't like this. Okay. Okay, all those kind of like, you know, messages are like, kind of stuff. And when I'm working with parents and with their kids, you see this going lots of times, okay? Now, what kind of communication is going on at that point?
Nothing.
You have to, and I don't.
No, there's lots of communication going on.
I'm not going to do what you tell me to do.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a resistive kind of thing. And all the communication builds up lots of resentment between them. And whatever kind of barriers there are between them, they're building them even higher.
As I was trying to get my wife to send her to a communicator to listen to her, she was walking out the door. And I said, you're listening perfectly well to me. I mean, if indeed there was no communication, she wouldn't have had to leave the room.
Yeah.
And that's the dynamic in our marriage, at least, that shows how we're communicating or not communicating effectively.
Okay.
Yeah, our kids will probably walk out the door too because they're watching one of us.
All right. Hang on to what we've been talking about. I want to dissect a little bit about what communication is. Okay? Some of this might be a review for some of you guys. Some of this might make things a little bit clearer, whatever. Okay? Basically, communication goes on with between at least two people. Yeah, it goes on between like radio and, you know, this kind of stuff and TV, but we're talking like person to person. Okay, with you talking to your child and them talking back to you, which happens also. But anyway, you have a sender over here. And this sender is giving some kind of a message over here to receiver, who in turn is giving back some kind of feedback. Okay? Basic kind of communication. Keep in mind that the message, what kind of form can this message be?
Oh, well, verbal or nonverbal.
It can be verbal or nonverbal. Yes. Remember, you know, the look and the finger, if you're just standing there kind of stuff, you're giving a lot of messages right away without saying anything. So you got to kind of keep this in mind now. So a message goes across, the receiver in some way receives it. Maybe not fully, maybe not as you sent it, but it goes over somehow, and then you get feedback in some way. So you stand there with the finger and the kid goes out the door. Okay? Your message was, you're mad, you got something to say, whatever. The kid was like, I'm not going to listen to it, and I'm gone. That was the conversation. That's communication. Not very effective communication, and it's not really helpful in a relationship. But that's what goes on sometimes. All right, so that's the basic communication that happens. Message and the feedback. It would be wonderful if this was really what happened. But unfortunately, what gets in the way, all too often, they can call them roadblocks or filters, that when you send a message, it comes along and it hits this filter, and it makes a turn, and the message you intended to get across to your child is not what they received. Okay, let's think of what are some possible filters that keeps your kid from hearing these messages that you want to get across to them.
They're feeling controlled.
Okay, they're feeling controlled, so they're feeling resentment. Okay, what else?
Anger.
Yes, either from the part of the sender or the receiver, either one. If they're angry, that's going to be very much of a filter. What else?
Their environment. The environment that they're in, if they're with other kids or a group.
Yes. If you've got a teenager with other teenagers, how well are they going to listen to mom or dad? Okay? Not as much as if they weren't with them. Okay? So the environment, who they're with, who's around at the time of day, whether the TV is going or not.
Sorry? Whether they're hungry or not.
Whether they're hungry or not, yes. Okay?
Whether they're sleepy or not.
Whether they're sleepy or not, yes. Whether they're grouchy or in a good mood.
Whether their feelings are hurt or low self-esteem.
Yes. Okay.
Is there some element of history? Because, I mean, whatever you've developed previously, it's going to reflect that next time you talk.
When I start working with a teenager, if that teenager is having a big problem with their father, and if I'm talking with them, even though it's the first time I met with them, because of their history of dealing with males, is going to be a filter that I have to deal with in some way. Okay. We need lots of filters here now. What can you do with all these filters floating around that are blocking these kind of messages that you want to get across to your kids? Okay. All right. So if you've got a message you want to get across to your kid, the first thing you're going to do is talk to them about being angry.
Well, if it's going to get in the way of the message, I'm going to have to.
Why?
Because otherwise it's just going to bounce off their anger.
Yes. Okay? If you don't, the first roadblock you come up to talking to your child is, to you it seems like they're mad about something. So you're going to talk to them about being mad, about them being mad. Okay? If you do that, what's going to happen to this filter?
No, maybe you can get rid of it.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe you can. All right, good thing. What else can you do with these roadblocks?
I'd say respect kids, you know, timing in terms of being hungry or tired, and put it on hold until they...
Okay. All right, look at the timing as far as that goes, as far as when you're going to talk to them. Okay. What else?
Well, if you've made a mistake, you can admit it.
Wait, you made a mistake?
Yeah.
Like?
If you fall enough for doing something that it turned out either someone else told them to do, or they were trying to do a good turn and it didn't turn out right, or, you know, any kind of mistake. We make lots of mistakes. I mean, one of the problems we have is that we make mistakes and then we're embarrassed about it, and then it's hard for us to admit to our kid that we made a mistake.
Okay. All right.
I would add to that just being in touch with my own feelings so that I make sure not to project that onto my kid.
Yeah. Okay. So often, when we've got something that we want to say to someone, that's what we've got in our head. And so we come across here as a sender, we've got a message, we come across a roadblock, and what we tend to do is we tend to steamroll over it or try to go through it somehow, all right? So that if we've got, let's say our child's, you know, report card has gotten home and they did really well, okay? So you want to give the message to your child that, you know, hey, I'm really proud of you. Good message you're trying to get across to your child, okay? So, your child comes home, child was involved in sports, something or whatever, or something musical at school, and things just got messed up. So they're in a foul mood when they got home. So you got a good message, you want to tell them how proud you are, then they come in the door, slam the door, drop their books down, plop down in a chair somewhere like this. Okay? So you go up to them and you put your arm on them and say, oh, I'm so proud of you for what you've done, you know, with your report card kind of stuff. What kind of effect do you think that's going to have on your child?
Probably make them mad.
Okay. There's a possibility that they're going to resent it.
Yeah, okay? They feel terrible and you're feeling good and you're telling them how good you feel.
Okay. So you've got the message you're trying to get across that you're proud of. Comes across one of the filters that they're really upset about something. And instead of that message going across and becoming a clear message to your child, it gets mixed up. So it comes across down here somewhere as a hurt. All right? So they come back and they say, shut up, or I don't care, and walk off. So your message came out of you as something positive. It came back, wait a minute, what in the world's going on here? See how confusing that can be? And then what a parent, when a child tells a parent to shut up, what does a parent come back with?
You can't say that to me.
Bam, your message is you're not going to talk to me like that. Another hurt to the kid, to the gut. They're going to come back with what?
Watch me.
Okay. All right. Now, do you see how an argument can get started when your intention was really good? I mean, you really wanted to tell something nice to your child. And it got all messed up. You got to look at what's going on first. Okay? And then try to make some sense out of it. I try to simplify. Anyone know what the KISS method is? You've heard of that before?
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, stupid. Yes. And I try to subscribe to that as much as I can when in my own thinking and doing things. And so, see if this makes any sense to you. You want to say something to your child. You want to get something nice across to them. Okay? Let me back up a minute. Let me hear from you. What are some things that you have a hard time, information-wise, getting across to your kids?
That I'm gonna follow through and do what he wants to do. I'm gonna go ahead and we're going to do what he wants to do, but we've got to wait for a few minutes. There's something delaying it, but we're going to do it.
Can you give me a specific example?
Well, we're going to go on a hike as soon as Dad wakes up from his nap.
Okay. Let's see if that makes sense out of that one. All right, that's going to be too complicated. What are some things that you try to tell your kids that's hard for you to be able to talk to them about?
Sex.
Okay, that's Saturday sessions. Okay, that's all right. Let's use it as an example to start with, okay? You want to talk to them something about, let's say, about the person they're dating, let's say. All right, or friends that they have.
No, I just wanted to be able to answer it. I mean, what happened, I've always tried to be real cool about it, and I got one of those books real early, and we went through the book and all this stuff, but then one day he came up to me and said something that took me by surprise, and I reacted with shame.
Okay, all right. Let's take it from the other point of view of you having something you want to talk to your kid about.
Okay.
All right, you've read this book. Okay? And you want to talk to your kids about AIDS, let's say. You think it's something that they need to understand. All right? What's the first thing you think you need to do in being able to get across? Let's say your kid comes home from school at 3 o'clock and you know they got some leeway time at home. You know there's nothing planned special that afternoon. And you want to kind of be able to talk with your child. What are some things that you can do to be able to get some of this information across?
Make a snack.
Make a snack. Trick them. No. okay, make a snack for them. All right? What else?
Tell them why it's important to you.
Tell them that you want to talk to tell them something that's important to you.
Tell them why it's important to you that you want to tell them this. What is it about that that's important to you?
Okay.
So that they get an idea of why you're telling them.
All right. So it's not just mom or dad blabbing on about something, that you're giving them some understanding.
It comes
okay.
out of your caring for them.
Okay. There's something you need to do before that.
That's what they have time to
create. Create an atmosphere and do away with some obstructions.
Okay. Set it up. Put the odds in your favor. What you're saying?
Ask if they have time to listen.
Okay, that very important one. Setting up initially, you know, that morning. Have you got time this afternoon for us to be able to talk? Okay. Now, don't do it in a way that your kid is going to give you like, oh no, one of those talks, you know, kind of stuff. Or, mom or dad's mad at me about something, kind of stuff. Or as my parents would say, Peter, we've got a bone to pick with you, kind of stuff. Like, oh, no, what do I do this time? Okay? But yeah, saying, finding out, setting something up along those lines. Okay? You had?
Well, I was going to say the same thing. If the child's old enough, almost making an appointment that you'd like to talk with them at their, giving them enough respect.
Yes. Kind of a good way of going about it is, want to go do something together? Want to go to the park? Want to go fishing? Want to go for a drive? Cars are wonderful sometimes. I'm taking teenagers because you got a captive audience. Okay? But also there's enough going on sometimes that they can listen as long as you keep the radio off. Okay? That works really well with some. I've had counseling sessions in my car because it works well sometimes with some kids. All right. You set up the time, okay? Boom, 3 o'clock, you got it set up, and you got a snack for them, or you're going for a ride, or you're going to be going fishing, or you're just going to go for a walk, whatever it might be that you're going to do with them, okay? You got them there. What's the first thing you're going to do then?
I would ask them what they already know about the topic, because chances are they've heard something, and that feels like a way of respecting and empowering them.
Yes. Okay? Because if you're going to be talking to them about dating or AIDS or whatever it might be, they may already have a filter there, and so you're dealing with a potential filter, like you're talking about doing. That's great. It's exactly what you should do. Okay? Now, There's another filter that's already there that you also need to deal with. Think for a minute. Your kid's gone through a full day of school. They've come home. What filters might they have?
Things that happen
during school. Yes. Now, a filter can be your son or daughter just got a date, okay, with someone they've been waiting a long time. And they are so excited about this, and it's such a big filter, it doesn't matter what you say to them, okay, the information may not get across because they're preoccupied with thinking about something else. So, the important thing is to find out what's going on with your child, okay? I wrote down here, the first thing to do, if you have something really, really important you want to talk to your child about, first thing you got to do is shut up. That's the first thing you got to do, is be willing to listen to your child first. You suggested a good way, asking them, what do you know about this kind of stuff, okay? Ask, you know, what's been going on so far today? You know, how's today been? Getting them to talk first about what's happening with them. Then you're going to find out what these filters or roadblocks are. If you don't find out what they are, you're going to run into them and a different message is going to get across to your kid. A message you didn't intend. Okay? So you got to be able to look at what those filters are, deal with them, and then you can get your message in.
What do you do when I've got about enough skills to have aroused my kid's defenses, and I don't know, you know, I want to know what he knows about AIDS, and I want to tell him what I think he needs to know, but what if I can't see a way to ask him that doesn't arouse his defenses?
Okay, so you're saying that no matter what you've tried, and you've tried a couple of different ways, and you keep coming up the same filter here that you think is so big that no matter what you say, it's not going to get across, and you can't get through that filter.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, if you keep beating your head into that filter, what's going to happen?
It's more resistance.
More resistance is going to build up. Okay? You're exactly right. Now, if you try to ignore that filter and say it anyway, what's going to happen?
Well, it might be partially heard, but it might even be heard wrong.
Right. It's going to be misinformation, okay? Miscommunication. So that's not going to work. So you back off. You set up this time to work, you know, to talk with your kid, you know, whatever you're doing, and you've come across a filter that you can't somehow deal with at the time. Yeah?
I'm not trying to make the switch here, but what happens when the child's 4 years old?
That's a whole other session.
Yeah. because of the span of mental attention is changing so rapidly.
And then there's really attention span is so short.
Right.
Okay. Briefly, with a four-year-old, what you do then is you look for the teachable moments. Okay? When you're with your child and you just kind of get the feeling that, you know, things are really clicking. You know, you're playing a game or something, and you just say, you know, then you get those information things across. You know, the rule I use is that if you want to either change a kid's behavior or get something really important across, that you have to do it 99 times consistently in a row before it makes any difference at all. Okay? That's the kind of rule of thumb. Okay, 99 times. But that's repetition. Yeah. Okay. And again, that's with a young one. It is a bit different. But it's still possible to do. Okay. Where were we? Oh, came across this roadblock or this filter, and you can't get, you're beating your head, it's not working, the kid's getting mad, you're getting mad. You need a timeout, you need to get away from each other. It's not going to work at that time. You try to set it up. It's not going to work then and there. If you try to make it work, you're going to make it worse for you and your child. So you need to back off. Got to take a break at that time. Okay? Maybe the next day. You know, at some point when you're doing something, or maybe even a couple days later, saying, that was a really pain the other day when we were together and we were talking. It just didn't seem to work kind of stuff. Okay, you came back to that filter. Yeah, don't make a big, heavy deal out of it, but do talk about it. You know, that wasn't much fun at all. Getting some information from your kids, and maybe you'll find out that there are other roadblocks or other filters there you didn't know about. All right? So you have to look at what's going on and deal with these filters when they come up. If you don't deal with them, the information is not going to get across. You're not going to get into your child's head what you want them to know. Okay? So the first thing is you got to shut up. And you got to be willing to listen. Now, you may have some kids who, like the parents, may have the gift of gab, and they may go on for a long time talking about everything that happened that day in school in 5-minute increments. And you may be sitting there, what may seem like for hours, listening, and like you say, oh, it's getting close to dinner time kind of stuff. All right? What can you do?
You can talk to him for a little while every day.
Okay. You can break it down into segments instead of trying to get everything across to him at one time. What else can you do?
Trying to pick up later. So to say, well, we've got to stop now or whatever. Tell him there's a time problem, but
sure,
you're enjoying it and you can maybe come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if your child is going on and on with things that they think are important, if you start thinking in your head, oh, there's suffering to go on kind of stuff, and there's this and that to go on, kind of, you know, you're putting up filters then. You're not listening. A basic rule of thumb, when you're having a conversation with someone, if you are thinking about what you are going to be saying next, you're not listening to that person anymore. If you have already started to think about what you want to say, you're not the receiver, you've become the sender. Okay? Basically, an argument is when you got two senders and you don't have anyone listening. That's an argument. I don't love doing this, but, you know, at work, you know, in the waiting room sometimes, with little kids, you know, when they're out there, and usually they're siblings. When they start to argue about, you know, usually it's one of the toys that are sitting out there. And you just watch them. And both of them are sending information back and forth. And sometimes I just love going out there very quietly, because they'll listen much more to me if I'm whispering than if I come out there and talk real loud and say, you kids shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff. And I get, just teach them real quickly how to listen. Okay? And when they start listening, they solve it themselves. I haven't solved their problem. All I did was get them to listen a little bit to each other. Now, if only parents and kids were like this, a little bit easier. Okay? But as adults, we kind of get it in our head that, you know, well, we have some important things to say here. And when we come across with that kind of an attitude, we stop listening. So again, the first step, if you've got something really important to tell your kids, you've got to shut up. And that's the hardest step. So I don't know about you guys, but I like to talk sometimes. And I go on and on. And it is difficult to sit there and listen. It's the hardest part of my job. When I'm sitting there with a family or with a kid or a parent and just listen. That's hard work. Okay? But it's the first step you got to do. All right. Then we talked about setting up a situation where they will be conducive to talking and to listening. However that might be. I've got one kid that the only time he really listens is when we go outside and play basketball. Because that removes a lot of the filters. He hates sitting in my office. If I make him sit in my office because whoever has made up the rules that you're supposed to sit in an office when you're counseling, you know, if I make him do that, there's going to be such a strong filter that it's going to be a waste of time for both of us. So the heck with that, I want to get rid of that filter. So we go outside and we play basketball. Okay? Works real well with him. Now with someone else, it might not work well. That's why you got to find out what those filters are and set up a situation that's going to work. That's what's going to be the key there. Then, if you've got something to say, say it. Say it short and sweet, to the point. Getting across what the essence of your message is. Okay? If you want them to be honest, you know, or whatever these, you know, trusting, loving themselves kind of stuff. If you want to get information across about AIDS or about dating or about whatever's going on within the house kind of stuff, make it short. Be specific about what you're saying. And talk about your feelings. Okay? Like who is it saying back here? No. This is an important thing to me. I want you to learn some of this kind of stuff. If you follow those steps, it might make a difference. Okay? The most important thing for us adults, though, again, is to shut up first and to deal with these filters. It may take you months of setting up times to talk to your kid to get rid of enough filters so that you can get information to them. Okay? It may take months. There are some students that I've been working with, it took me almost a year in working with a student because in that student's particular situation, there were so many filters there, it took that much time to get rid of them. And then once we got rid of the filters, within about a month's period of time, all the problems this kid was having before, was able to deal with them, boom, 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 right in a row. And was able to go on just fine. But first you gotta deal with the filters. Otherwise, forget it, it's not gonna work. Okay? Now, just sitting here in this room, what are some of the filters that makes it hard for you guys in hearing what I'm saying? Let's practice some of this right here.
I'm afraid I'll never, I won't make it. I'm afraid I'll never get through.
Okay. So you won't be able to deal with the filters, so that kind of, you're wondering, well, what he's saying is not making sense, or it's not going to work, or it's going to be too hard. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right? What are the kind of filters right here in listening?
You think there's an urgency to tell the kids something. That's, you know, gosh.
Okay.
A year? You've been through this in a year? You're kidding me.
Yeah. What would be the alternative?
Well, yeah.
Not getting it across at all.
Right. But it's like, you're so long. It's not, but it feels that, you know, if you're urgent about something.
Talk about message. Patience. Yeah. Okay. But what about right here, in you sitting here in these chairs?
Feeling hungry.
The chair.
Yes, being hungry, you better believe it, is definitely a filter right here and now.
Distractions about wondering how your kids are doing.
Yes, most definitely. The kids walking around here kind of stuff and going, oh, are they safe? Are they okay? You better believe that's a filter. Yes, what else?
Think of your own situation, mm-hmm. and how this applies to you, and how you can apply it to your own life. And
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay? So, you know, it's kind of distracting, and you're thinking, the wheels are turning right away, and when that's happening, then it's hard to listen. Okay? What else?
Being comfortable in this chair. Uncomfortable in this chair.
Being uncomfortable in the chair. Yes! Okay?
Sometimes it's the age difference. It's hard to figure out what the filters are.
Yeah.
When I have a 10 and an 8-year-old, I can get it out of the 10-year-old, but the 8-year-old doesn't, maybe he doesn't understand what his filters are right at that moment.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. Okay. This hunk of stone here, for me, is a filter. You know, this would be even, if I stood up here like this, that'd be even more of a filter. Of course, that might put some filters in front of you, thinking, what's he doing standing up there?
Right.
Or they think he knows this kind of stuff, you know? All right? So this is awkward for me. It's kind of a filter for me. Okay? Being in a completely new setting or situation, for those of you who are new here, like me, can also be a filter. Okay? when I first came in here, I was like, you know, one of the filters that made it difficult for me getting information across to you was that I was kind of scared. Like, what's, you know, is anyone going to show up? What is this kind of stuff, you know? There's lots of different filters. If you ignore them, information's not going to count, okay? If you deal with them, then you can get somewhere. Okay?
All right. Hard to recognize.
Yes, they are hard. They're really hard to figure out. Very hard to figure out what the filters are. Yeah.
And you know the kids are listening, but you don't know why.
Yeah, okay. In this room, look across this room. What kind of a non-verbal filters do you see?
What a motley crew.
What about? I mean, you
well,
know.
My own personal one is my arms are crossed, and it's a comfortable pose for me, but I'm always aware that I'm giving people the message that I'm not interested in listening to.
Well, that's kind of comfortable for me sometimes, crossed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that I don't care or I don't want to listen.
Right.
But notice how their eyes are kind of glazed a little bit. Half open. Okay, remember we're talking about non-verbal communication? Okay? Now the non-verbal communication you guys are giving me is that I'm tired. You know, it's been a long day. Okay? So that's one of the non-verbal communication that's telling me there's a filter that's in the way. Okay? Now, just the fact of just mentioning it, what difference has that made in the group here? Right, whose kid is that out there? Everyone's like, everyone's looking around. I was like, no, that doesn't sound like mine.
It doesn't sound like mine. Right there,
so it's okay.
No problem.
Yeah. When I mentioned the filter about people being tired, say it again.
People perk up.
You perk up right away. Yes. Okay. You know, your eyes are. Oh, he knows I'm tired. It's okay to be tired here. You know, kind of stuff. Yeah. It's okay to sit back and put your legs up and close your eyes for a while. That's fine. You know? What other kind of non-verbal communication do you get from your kids sometimes that we ignore?
They'd rather be doing something else.
Yes. How do you know if your kid would rather be doing something else?
When a kid is coloring on the floor and not wanting to listen to you.
Okay. You know, do you know how to get rid of that filter then?
Take away the color and look in the crayons.
Go color with
nope.
them.
Nope, you add another sure. filter that way.
You maybe, color with them.
Get down and color with them, yeah.
Get down and color with them. You remove the filter of the coloring, of it being a distraction, and instead of it being a barrier,
add it to your...
you join with them. Okay? If you take the coloring book away, you've had a filter of resentment between you and your child. Then. Okay?
Okay, so if he's throwing a tantrum, do we get down the floor and throw a tantrum with him?
Yeah. Now, is that a good time to get any information across to him during a tantrum?
Well, no. If you want him to stop having the tantrum, do you go along with him?
I have done that. I have done that, and it actually works.
I was going to say.
It actually works. Then it becomes a game, and at the end, we both start laughing. And it's sort of like, and then we probably won't talk where we're going to, but it really does work.
Okay, so if it's loud in our room tonight.
What room are you in?
Are you next to us? Oh my God.
Now wait a minute, before you do this, what room are you in?
Yeah, if you want to, you know, in some of the things I've learned as far as in being a therapist, one of the most important things to do is to kind of join with the people that you're working with. And they would suggest as going as far as having a temper tantrum with them, yes.
Or maybe agreeing that it's a really terrible thing that his brother took his whatever,
yes.
And going along with him that way,
yeah.
Maybe diffusing
yeah.
it quicker than...
When I go out to the waiting room, and if I've got, you know, especially, you know, teenagers, oh, you know the teenage client, you know, they sit out there, you know, their arms and legs crossed, sit there looking down. Of course, they can't look at anyone. And they're just sitting there, you know, just totally bored, like this is a waste of time being here, look. Okay? You know what I do? I sit down right next to them, I sit exactly the same way, and I say, it's a real pain having to be here. They look at me like, you know, wait a minute, you know. I'll say things like, you really don't want to be here, do you? And he'll say, no, I don't want to be here. I said, what would you rather do instead of down? Of course, they'll tell me anything else they want to do, and I would start talking. Okay? That first filter that I had to overcome with them is that they don't want to be there. They're being made to come see me, and they don't want to. And because of that, they hate me, and they hate their parents, hate the world. Everything is going horrible. And by me, you know, having a teenage temper tantrum, which is kind of, you know, sitting there being, you know, whatever, I've joined with them at their level where they are, and I'm starting a conversation with them, and we may have the whole session sitting out there in the waiting room.
Everybody else listening.
Talking about sports and weather or whatever it might be, but I've joined that person at their level. Okay? Now, maybe next week when they come in, we might be there the whole time, we might be there maybe just a couple minutes. I don't know.
But you maybe see, then he's already learned that you agree with him, that it's not necessarily a good type
of thing. I hate people making me do things too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of a human thing. We all hate that. So you identify with them where they are at that point. Against the communication. The message I wanted to get across to that kid is that I care about what's going on with you. Okay? Now, if I came out there and I said, you know, Johnny, you know, I really care about what's going on with you. I mean, come on now. You know, that would have hit, you know, the filter here. It would have gone somewhere off the wall. And I don't know what it would have made, the sense it would have made to this kid.
Get real.
Yeah. Okay? So instead, I come up, and I come up across whatever the filter is. And I don't know how many filters that kid has, but every time I come across one, I have to deal with it. Like I said, it's taken up to a year sometimes before I've gotten to the point where the kid will really listen to what's going on. Okay? It takes a lot of patience. Okay. How y'all doing?
You got a bad question to ask.
Another question, okay.
Back to the four-year-old.
The four-year-old! Now remember, this is different than with teenagers.
Sure.
Okay, all right.
I'm right at the point now where she's old enough that I know she's listening, she understands you talk when you make a rule, and I come up with a SWOT. The SWOT, just, you know, that's creating a filter, and that's where it's smacking me right now, because I'm right at that point and I know there's the big filter, and she's putting it on because she knows that I was trying to have her be quiet up there or something. She's with her little friends. Well, but I guess my question is this, is at that time they're old enough, I don't know if you're pro or con about SWATs, it's just at a difficult age where I think, you know, they're trying to learn a lot of rules, and it's just social acceptance of this and that.
The whole socialization process.
Yeah, and, you know, whether you tell me pro or con about swatting, that's part of the issue.
Yeah, okay. Since you asked, and he did ask, right?
you know, I'm just
open the door.
I'm all ears.
Yeah, even though there are times that I have been sorely tempted to hit kids also, you know, when they spit in your face, and a few other times when you know. I don't like hitting kids. I don't hit kids. When parents ask me what I think about hitting kids, I help them to realize there are other ways of dealing with kids besides hitting them. Because again, look at the message. What message does that give your kid? I'm bigger. I'm stronger than you. When you do something wrong, I'm going to hurt you. You're like, wait a minute. You know, is that the message as a parent that I wanted to give it to my kid? Most parents would say, no, there really isn't. But the message is, when, you know, this is the line of behavior, and when your kid steps over the line, that there is a consequence for it, yes. And then that gets in the whole kind of stuff. And another session where I have a limit setting, and, you know, dealing, you know, how you deal with limits with kids, and what you do when they step over the limits kind of stuff. That's another session this week.
Sure, yeah. Didn't mean to drag it in. But it was part of the communication part. And
yeah.
When it's young and there's, that, maybe that's the big filter right there. Yeah. It's the fact that socialization is a big enough issue in their life at that stage.
Yeah.
Communication will just develop as your relationship with them will develop.
Yeah. And even at 4 years old, you can start dealing with them, you know, and looking at, working at giving them choices. You know, I'm really big on prevention as far as conflicts with kids. And if when you want a kid to do something, if you give them two okay choices as far as you're concerned instead of one, and let them choose which of those two, so they feel empowered, like they have some control of what's going on. And even though you've set it up, the two choices, and to you, either one would be okay. The kids are more likely to go along with what's happening there.
Sure, and they listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any, we're kind of running out of time, and yeah.
Are you going to be getting into sibling rivalry at all later in the week? This is kind of a big issue. I don't want to bring it up now, but I'm just curious.
If you're in the session, if you bring it up, we can deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
It has to do with communication between siblings about typical stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can bring that. That'd come up good when we're talking about some of the limit setting with kids and dealing with those issues, and we can deal with it then.
Are you really going to do the thing with kids tomorrow?
Yes.
It's not on the board. At least I don't think it's on.
Yeah, they're going to announce it. I don't know, either tonight or tomorrow morning for teenager, and this is going to be for teenagers.
Wait a minute. My son's 11, and he really wants to come to it, and he's acting very young teenager-y, by the way.
All right, but
he's hating being here without his Nintendo, and he doesn't want to go meet anybody who's here.
Okay. I mean, 11 and 12 year olds, what the heck? But what I'm going to be talking to them about is how to make you guys listen.
Yeah.
And also looking at, their perceptions of parents and what's going on in that kind of relationship. And then seeing if out of that can come a forum for Thursday night. We're going to kind of see if that's going to be possible tomorrow.
But we're meeting Wednesday.
I'm sorry. Well, you got to stay another day then.
Can I share a gem? My daughter was sitting here at the beginning, and I asked her, I said, Emily, if you could open up Mommy and Daddy's head and tell them something as your first example or activity for us was, what would you want us to hear? And she said, don't be mad, and write me a letter, and don't leave. And I thought,
how old is she?
She's four. She'll be four.
Okay.
And I thought, and I mean, we've never told. I mean, it's just, you know, out of the mouth of babes kind of stuff. And I thought, that's about. Those are my issues.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't want people to be mad at me, and I don't want people to desert me or abandon me. I thought, gosh, in terms of messages up there, and that's where I Love You was coming from as I spoke to what I would say to my kids was.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you for your attention and your thoughts. And go easy.